Sun on the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. We're coming off yet another big sports weekend on the Strip, and I'm not even talking about the Tyson Fury-Tom Schwartz fight at MGM Grand Garden Arena Saturday night, which was a pretty big deal, but there was more crazy sports stuff happening because both new championship teams, the NBA's Toronto Raptors and the NHL's St. Louis Blues, had players in town celebrating their victories in Las Vegas over the weekend. And in fact, the Stanley Cup was making the rounds, as it tends to do, at nightclubs and other party spots. In fact, the cup was in the lobby at MGM Grand Sunday and Monday as part of a fan event and to generate excitement for this week's NHL Awards, which is set for Wednesday night at Mandalay Bay Event Center. Here to talk all about this year's event is Las Vegas Sun sports reporter Justin Emerson. Thanks, Justin, for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to make my debut on the Sun on the Strip podcast.
That's a big deal.
It is. It is. I mean, me and Case do our own, the Vegas Golden podcast, but to be on this one, it's an honor.
That's right. Yeah, we should mention that. I think I've teased it a little bit before. We actually have a bunch of cool podcasts going on at the Sun, and the sports ones have been going on longer than most, and you guys started the Vegas Golden podcast. Was that kind of at the mid-season point?
Yeah, mid-season, because I got on the beat in November and then kind of settled in for a little bit. So I think it was maybe end of December, January we started it. Mm-hmm.
So this was really your first year of covering the Golden Knights and the NHL in Las Vegas. What was that? What was that like, now that you've had some time to reflect on it?
I mean, I've always wanted to cover hockey, and being able to do it in Las Vegas is just an experience unto itself. I mean, just hockey's a fun show regardless of what city you're in, but in Las Vegas with the pregame show and the in-game entertainment, just I genuinely feel like just hockey in Las Vegas is different than any other city, and I feel like every city says that their brand of hockey is different, This one's something special. It's fun to we're sitting in a room where we're overlooking the Strip, and it's fun to think that hockey is there, and it's been there for 2 years now. It's going to be here for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, I think we're a little bit biased in Vegas because this team is still so new, and we love it so much. Just as a community, it's such a big deal. But do you think that Vegas is kind of infecting the NHL a little bit in terms of putting even more show into the sport and trying to go big with events like this week's award show?
Oh, I would have to say so. I mean, the award show's been here for a couple of years now. I think this is year number 10 that it's been in Vegas. But you look around the league since the Golden Knights and their last year's playoffs, I think, kind of opened up the rest of the league to the kind of show that they do. And it got mocked by some, but everybody in Vegas loved it. And that's who they were catering to, so that's what matters. But then you go around, and whenever Vegas came to town, a couple of the road trips I came on, they did little skits on the ice, kind of making fun of the Golden Knights. So there's definitely, it's changed at least the entertainment product. And I think that, Seattle's getting an expansion team here in 2 seasons. I think that the bar has been raised for them for sure with what the Golden Knights and Las Vegas have done to hockey and the NHL.
Mm-hmm. Last year's NHL Awards show was held at the Joint in the Hard Rock Hotel, and the Vegas Golden Knights kind of swept.
Cleaned up, won
a lot of awards.
Yeah.
This year it has moved to Mandalay Bay Event Center, a larger venue. That's where the Las Vegas Aces play. How else is the show going to be different this year besides just being in a larger room?
It's funny you asked that. I was just talking to Steve Mayer. He's the chief content officer at the NHL. I was on the phone with him the other day asking him that exact question. And he said last year's show had a more somber tone to it. You know, they were honoring the shooting here, the shooting in Parkland, Florida, the Humboldt crash. So they wanted to try to honor that and strike the right tone. This year they said that it's going to be more comedy, that they're going to be trying to, you know, it's going to be more, not that, like last year's was uplifting in a different way, but right. This is going to be a lot more lighthearted, a lot more funny. They've got Kenan Thompson as the host. They've got plenty of other award presenters. So this year, with the bigger venue, they said that was a big thing, is because now that Las Vegas is a hockey town, it's not just a place that they come for the awards. Now that there's a local fan base here, they felt that they needed it in a bigger venue and turn it into more of a arena atmosphere as opposed to like a theater atmosphere is kind of how he said it, comparing Mandalay Bay to Hard Rock.
Mm-hmm. I know there was a lot of local people that went to the award show for the first time last year since they had their own team to cheer for, and you know, hockey fever had just swept up Las Vegas. Do you anticipate another big crowd?
Oh, I'd have to say so. I think a lot of people are going to come in from across the country. You know, they want to see their players on their teams win awards, but I'd be surprised if it wasn't mostly Las Vegas fans. I mean, it's right down the street. I mean, why wouldn't you want to go? And, you know, there's not the going to be the Vegas representation as far as the players and the awards that there was last year. They won, William Karlsson won, Derek England won, George McPhee, Gerard Gallant. This year, Mark Stone is the only nominee for the Golden Knights. He's up for the Selke Award, which is given to the best defensive forward. A lot of that, even before he came to Vegas, he got traded at the trade deadline when he was in Ottawa. People had talked a lot about him. He plays on the wing as opposed to center, so he's he was maybe considered a long shot before the year, but he had such a great defensive year that I've seen a lot of people have tweeted out that they feel like he should win. I've seen people put him on their ballot, so he's got a very legitimate shot of being the first winger, and I think it's 10 or 15 years to win the Selke Award.
Mm-hmm. Such a big impact on the team this year, so that'd be pretty cool to see him
get
recognized.
Yeah, and it's very cool, obviously, to see a guy on the hometown team win, and he came in and he changed the total outlook of the team just on the way he was able to play on both sides of the ice, so he's definitely deserving, and it would be fun to see him win. Mm-hmm.
It's been, you know, the season officially just recently ended, but it's been over for a while for us in Las Vegas, and it's been a little boring if you haven't been watching the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're just kind of, Vegas hockey fans are just kind of waiting for things to happen, waiting for free agency stuff to play out. What's the biggest unanswered question right now for the Knights as far as you're concerned?
Well, the Golden Knights are remarkably somehow already over the projected salary cap for next season. They have a lot of raises and extensions kicking in. Mark Stone's new deal, Marc-Andre Fleury's new deal, Max Pacioretty's new deal, Alex Tuch's new deal, a lot of that. So they're going to have to find a way to clear a lot of cap space, and whether that means trading some guys that they'd rather hold on to. Colin Miller, Cody Eakin, these guys could be traded as cap casualties. Ryan Reeves, I mean, and if they really wanted to shake things up and really make it, a guy like William Karlsson doesn't have a contract for next year yet. He could get traded. Riley Smith, Jonathan Marchessault, these guys have high cap hits, and in a salary cap league, sometimes casualties are going to have to be made. So that's definitely the biggest thing, and I think the draft is on Friday. I think we're going to get a lot of clarity over the next week or two over how the Golden Knights team is going to look next season.
I feel like we might be scaring any Knights fans listening to this.
The thing is, if you're up against the cap, most of the time it's because you're paying good players a lot of money. So if they're trading away guys, I still believe they're going to be very good in competing for another Pacific Division title next season.
Yeah. So there you go. NHL Awards presented by Bridgestone is at Mandalay Bay Wednesday, June 19th at 5 p.m. Vegas time. It's going to be broadcast live on NBCSN and Sportsnet. Yeah, Justin, we'll definitely have to get you back in here before the season starts for some more hockey talk.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, Brock.
Thank you. Okay, on to some showbiz news. Shania Twain. You remember Shania Twain. She famously rode a horse down the Las Vegas Strip to kick off her headlining residency at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace, which ran for 105 shows in 2 years and ended in 2014. She's back for round two. This time she'll be taking the stage at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood. Let's Go is the name of Shania's new residency, announced this week for 23 shows this December and March, May, and June of 2020. It opens December 6th, and tickets go on sale this Friday, June 21st. Shania performed last on the Strip in August at MGM Grand as part of her Now tour in support of her fifth album. So we've got another country resident. Of course, we have Reba Brooks and Dunn at Caesars, George Strait at T-Mobile Arena, Lady Antebellum at the Palms, and that's it, unless you count Florida Georgia Line's week-long run at Zappos Theater in November. Christina Aguilera just closed out the opening stretch of her residency at Zappos Theater. Next up in this room, Gwen Stefani is back in July, and Def Leppard opens a new show in August, and then Christina is back, and then it's going to be Shania time. Also announced this week, Willie Nelson will headline a limited engagement of 6 shows at the Venetian Theater beginning October 18th, and tickets for that go on sale this Friday as well. The last time he played the Venetian was February 2017. I saw that show. I also saw him at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan last year, and I definitely recommend getting a little Willie in your life if you haven't seen him play live. He's just a legend. It's a crowd pleaser for sure. So Willie Nelson at Venetian Theater in October. Guns N' Roses will also be returning to the Strip November 1st and 2nd at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace, which is very interesting. Remember, we've talked about the Coliseum on this show, how it's about to be renovated, how they're going to add a GA standing space on the floor right in front of the stage, and that's being done to accommodate different kinds of acts like Guns N' Roses. They fit into that category for sure, a band that can get the audience to come to that size of room, and an audience that might want to jump up and down on the floor in front of the stage instead of sitting in a nice plush seat. If you listened to my All the Vegas podcast with Live Nation president Kurt Moline earlier this year, you can go listen to that right now at allthevegas.com. I asked him who he'd like to see take up a Vegas residency, and GNR was his pick, no hesitation. Guns N' Roses. Live Nation is now managing the Coliseum with Caesars, so if you add that up, if Guns N' Roses ever finishes its Not In This Lifetime reunion tour, which has been going on since 2016 now, and also visited T-Mobile Arena in the past few years, maybe Axl and Slash and the guys will move into the Coliseum for a real rock residency, which would be incredible. Okay, let's shift gears now and talk about food a little bit, because Las Vegas Restaurant Week is upon us once again. This annual event, it actually lasts longer than a week. It runs from June 17th through June 28th this year. If you've never heard of it, restaurants all over the Vegas Valley basically create special discounted menus with the proceeds from each meal going to assist the local Three Square Food Bank. For the last few years, celebrity chef Robert Irvine has been hosting a summer cookout kickoff for Restaurant Week at his Robert Irvine Public House at the Tropicana, and that event was back last week. It happened on Thursday night, and they actually raised $28,000 for Three Square, which is awesome. Las Vegas Weekly deputy editor and restaurant expert Genevieve Durano is here to talk a little bit about this year's Restaurant Week. Thanks, Genevieve, for coming back to the Sun on the Strip.
Sure thing.
So lots of cities across the country have their own version of Restaurant Week. I think ours is a little bit special because we have the Strip, the four-mile stretch that has some of the best and most famous restaurants in the world. So we end up getting a lot of help from tourists every year and generating a lot of money from them for Three Square, which is pretty cool. And there are a lot of Strip restaurants participating this year and every year. So it turns out to be kind of a great time for locals to go check out Strip food without really breaking the bank. Is that your plan this year? Do you have a strategy for some places that you would like to check out for Restaurant Week?
Definitely. I want to check out some newer restaurants that I haven't been to yet. Restaurant Week, of course, you can go from breakfast to lunch to brunch to dinner, and different price points from $20 to $80 is the high end, and there are definitely a lot of choices. One of top of my list is the Factory Kitchen at the Venetian, which I think hasn't gotten a lot of press lately. I mean, it just opened, I believe, in December. I want to say December.
Yeah.
But it is, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it kind of got lost in the shuffle, maybe because, like, Venetian and Palazzo opened a lot of new restaurants kind of close together, and anytime you open a restaurant on the Strip in December, there's usually a bunch of other places doing that, too. It's kind of like a slower season that things kind of pop open all of a sudden to get acclimated to the volume and things like that. It's just a good time to open a restaurant. And there was some high-profile stuff this last winter. But, yeah, that's
exactly.
I haven't been there yet, but everyone's telling me it's amazing.
This will be a good time to check it out. They have this. So for what are their special for Restaurant Week is a $30 lunch. And the choices are excellent. There are three courses, and there's a pasta course, and there's a meat course, and a dessert course. And I'm really looking forward to going because they have this handkerchief pasta that is fabulous. I've never eaten it anywhere else. It's basically an egg pasta with an almond basil pesto. It's
like bright green, right?
Right. It's delicious.
I want that. You think they'll let me have just four courses of pasta and skip the rest of the stuff?
I think you probably can ask them for sure. Another brunch place I would definitely check out is, I haven't been there in years, is Mesa Grill. They have a fairly good selection also. You have three courses. Start with soup or salad, and you know, you have a choice of a cheeseburger or crab cakes and a chef's choice dessert. I haven't been there in a while, so I want to go back and check it out.
Yeah,
so.
Mesa Grill is kind of the Restaurant Week champion. It's not a competition. But there are, you know, restaurants do like to do really well and raise a lot of money during these 10 days or 11 days or whatever it is. And Bobby Flay's Mesa Grill at Caesars has many times been the champ because it's such a big lunch and dinner spot. I think that's part of the reason why. But there's people who definitely plan to go to Mesa Grill every year for Restaurant Week.
Yeah. For dinner, I am planning to go to Clio because SLS is undergoing a change, and Clio is such a fabulous place to go. And, you know, I'm not sure what the future of that restaurant is going to be once they have a changeover in ownership, but now is probably a very good time to revisit it before, if anything should happen to it, now is a really good time to revisit.
That's a good call, actually. I would agree with that recommendation. I love Clio. It's one of my favorite restaurants of any genre on the Strip. And the SLS has not announced anything about it yet, but there's a lot of rumor that it's not going to be around for long.
Right. I think they're changing up a lot of stuff there. Mm-hmm. Definitely their restaurant portfolio is going to undergo a lot of changes. So now is a good time to catch Clio, just in case anything happens to it.
Yeah, if there's kind of a hot new restaurant you've heard about that you haven't visited yet, Restaurant Week is a great time to do that. If you go to helpoutdineoutlv.org, that is the site that has, you can also just Google Las Vegas Restaurant Week, that's probably easier. But that's how you'll find which restaurants are participating this year, and also all of their menus are on there. So a place like Nomad at Park MGM, they're participating this year. That's been a very talked about restaurant, new restaurant on the Strip. They're doing a $50 dinner. They have duck confit as one of the options. That's always one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. That sounds good to me. You know what else is one of my favorites is Bardot Brasserie at Aria.
Yes.
I think I've been there a couple different times during Restaurant Week. Just everything is so good there. Their dinner's a little bit more expensive at $80, but
they're definitely the high end of Restaurant Week, but definitely worth it. Mm-hmm. For mid-tier dinner, I think a really good deal is Best Friend, Roy Choi's place at Park MGM. It's $50, but I think the way they're doing it is super interesting because they have a first and second course that serve family style, but they're serving you everything. So you get to try, everything. I think there are six different things, three for the first course and three for the second course. So bring a friend, bring, you know, family members. Serve it family style and enjoy everything. And then you get a third course, which is a dessert. I think that's a fabulous deal for $50.
Mm-hmm. A bunch of Cosmo restaurants are participating also, including Zuma, which is, I really like Zuma. It's Japanese food, and I've only been a couple of times, and it's one of those places I keep saying I'm going to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
They have a $50 dinner. Black truffle miso marinated baby chicken is one of the entree options there. And then Blue Ribbon, one of my all-time favorites at Cosmo, has a four-course dinner for $80 too, with, of course, the fried chicken is one of the options. Steak frites or grilled salmon are the other like main course options at Blue Ribbon.
Speaking of Cosmo, one of my favorite places is Milo's. They have an $80 dinner, four courses. I don't know if you've ever, have you tried the Greek salad at Milo's?
Yes.
Which is?
It's amazing.
So that's the third course for this particular Restaurant Week offering. But you have a first course, a second course, and then, you know, you get dessert, which is a great deal for that place. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful restaurant, too, if, you know, you get to see the fresh fish that on offer for the day, and you get to actually pick your fish, which is very nice.
It's hard to choose. If you're going to restaurant week stuff, it's hard to choose because it seems like there's more different restaurants participating every year. And there's so many good restaurants on the Strip, but you don't have to just go off on the Strip. You can go off the Strip, too, which we definitely encourage.
For sure.
Thanks, Genevieve. Have a good restaurant week.
Thank you.
What is taking over the Strip this week? Well, you might think it's summer and the convention biz has slowed down. Not exactly the case. Things are still going strong. Hewlett-Packard's Discover 2019 convention wraps up on Thursday at the Venetian. That's about 12,000 attendees. And the Society for Human Resource Management's annual conference and expo draws more than 18,000 people to the Las Vegas Convention Center and its hotel headquarters at Westgate. That starts on Sunday. My one big show this week is the return of Aerosmith to its residency at Park Theater, Park MGM, on Wednesday, Saturday, and Monday. Then the band has three more shows stretching into July. So Lady Gaga just vacated Park Theater. She was back for another run of her Enigma and jazz and piano shows. She also opened the House of Gaga fashion exhibit. Aerosmith is doing their own version of that. Actually, there was this Aerosmith Vegas Museum. This thing already existed in the bowels of Park Theater, really, when they opened their residency back in April. But only VIP package ticket holders had access to it. Now it's open to the public. It's open on show days only for tours from noon to 3. I just checked it out. It's pretty extensive. It's very cool. And I wrote all about it for this week. Check out LasVegasSun.com on Thursday for that story. And then hit the site again on Friday to find more weekend entertainment options with my Best Bets column. That's LasVegasSun.com. And that's it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. You can go back and listen to past episodes on Apple Podcasts or at our site at LasVegasSun.com/podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you next week.